Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Panning the Stream. My name is Dan Reichert. Sitting across from me is my wife, Bianca Reichert. How are you doing, honey?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hanging in?
I'm hanging in there just fine.
Yeah? In this vaguely cucumber-scented room?
Oh, did you spray the stuff?
No, but it's been sprayed so many times at this point that this room, like, permanently has a cucumber essence.
I don't necessarily have a, like, super strong affinity for cucumbers. In fact, I almost never eat them unless they're, like, placed in front of me.
What, I thought you loved cucumbers.
When have I ever given you that idea?
I don't know. I guess I just constructed it as part of the Dan Reichert headcanon.
I find them inoffensive at best.
I think they're delightful. They're refreshing. They're crisp. They really add a lot to a salad.
I'm certainly no Undertaker who is deathly afraid of cucumbers.
Yeah, that's a fun fact.
Yes.
Well, you don't like pickles either.
And I actively hate pickles.
Privy listeners will know that a pickle was once a cucumber.
That's all hearsay.
I think pickles are great. I think cucumbers are great. I think cucumber-scented things aren't actually indicative at all of how cucumbers actually smell. I don't think cucumbers do have a smell. It's kind of like artificial grape flavoring that tastes nothing like real grape, you know what I mean? There's this, like, fake smell, and no one knows what to call it, so they're just like, well, I guess it's fucking cucumber.
Whatever this thing is, the spray is really good. I've never smelled a real cucumber and thought, like, that smell.
Yeah, it doesn't smell like anything.
Yeah, with the spray stuff, it's really good.
Remember when I made you sliced mozzarella with a little bit of salt?
Yes.
And then for some reason, you called it mozzarella and stick.
Yeah, I was trying to say the word salt. I wound up saying stick, which, to my defense, it is a one-syllable word that starts with S. But salt is not like stick.
No, salt and stick are very different. Didn't you think that a fig was a stick for a time?
I thought figs were filled with bugs. Or no, I did also think a fig was a stick. That's right. And I was corrected because I thought it was a stick, and then I found out that it's actually filled with bugs. It's actually worse.
Wait, figs are filled with bugs?
It's like some weird thing where, like, wasps, like, lay eggs, and then the eggs, like, burst, and their jelly turns into the stuff in Fig Newtons or something.
It's what?
It's weirdly gross.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, look it up. I'm sure I have that all sorts of wrong, but there is some bug-related thing going on with figs.
I remember reading that, like, yogurt was flavored with cockroaches or some shit.
Bacteria.
Some kind of, well, I know it has bacteria in it. Yogurt is like chock full of the good bacteria.
Yeah, I still don't like the word.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't like the word yogurt?
No, bacteria. I'm not big on the word yogurt.
Oh, I mean, bacteria, you need good bacteria. When you're on antibiotics, they say that you should have yogurt because antibiotics, like, remove all the bacteria.
There's a thing called probiotics, too.
Well, that's what's in the yogurt. It's a probiotic.
Is that the poop stuff?
Well, it could be poop stuff. But, like, you always hear if you're a woman and you're on antibiotics, you have to have yogurt or else, like, you'll get, like, a yeast infection or whatever.
Yeah.
If you know. Yeah, yeast infections, like, they sound horrible. Like, you could fucking bake bread in your vagina. But from what I understand, they're not nearly as bad as it sounds. It really is an unappetizing. It's a terrible name. It should have a better name.
It's a bad name. And guys just straight up can't get it, right?
I don't know. I don't want to say what's
certain to my
own. I feel like yeast infection should be called something cooler to make it, like, because obviously they're not cool. I don't have a ton of experience with yeast.
I don't know what they are. I just know they're not cool.
I just wish they had a cooler name, like I don't know, like Aurora Syndrome or something like that. Something mysterious and cool sounding. Because I feel like vaginas get a lot of flack. There's all these words.
Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan
associated with the vagina that really just evoke grossness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
a lot of just medical
even
things.
Even the
in
word
general.
Vagina is just terrible.
Yeah, so yeah, Tom Clancy came up with this
vulva,
character.
I think is a nice word.
Yeah, labia. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of labia, but vulva I feel is a nice, very feminine word and is appropriate for that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But yeah, names. So Jack Ryan is a name.
Yeah,
of
so
this
Jack
guy.
Ryan. Like,
I
that's
feel
a,
like Jack Ryan.
That's
is,
an appropriate name for what he
well,
is.
The thing about Jack Ryan is it's just one of those names. And I guess Tom Clancy stuff, whatever. Maybe
Tom Clancy.
Is it Clancy?
No, I just remember Mr. Caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
Every time he said Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six.
Yeah, so I know he made this Jack Ryan guy. I'm not, like, super hip to Tom Clancy shit. But Jack Ryan does sound like one of those stereotypical spy names. Like, you're prompted, you're put on the spot, you have to make up a name real quick, so you just go with the two first names.
Yeah, two very common names that you could come up with. Yeah,
so inoffensive. Yeah. Like, just the most, like, vanilla-ass name. We actually, listeners at home might be interested to know that we've been sort of creating this lore around our downstairs neighbor, who has a very spy-like name. I obviously won't say his name.
We shouldn't say it, but, like, it is way more spy-like than even, like, James Bond or
It's very
famous
spy-like,
spies.
And obviously we can't say his name on air, but I will say it's his first name is like a name from legend, right?
Right.
I guess religious legend?
Yeah, it's in definitely books
and
of religion.
His last name is an inanimate object that
is fancy.
That you could imagine someone who's like, what is your name, sir? And you have to come up with a fake name and you're like looking around like, oh, fuck, what am I going to say?
Caviar.
Yeah, something like caviar.
Yes,
let's just say.
Yes.
So it's very fancy fake names. And Dan and I, okay, so this guy, I don't even know what he looks like. He's been living downstairs for like, what, half a year now?
Yeah.
And I can't picture him in my mind. I really don't know what most of our neighbors look like, even though we only have like 10 people.
There's the 2-year-old that takes 6 hours to walk up the stairs.
Okay, we'll get to him in a second. Okay. But so this guy, this spy guy, I know very little about him, but when I do see him, he's very polite. I have seen him just with his hand go out to collect a delivery, like not even showing his face. Like I've seen a delivery man come and he just like very slyly sticks his hand out the door, just grabs his food and then takes it.
Yeah, it's
kind of like cartoonish.
Yeah, it's like Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget or like Wilson from Home Improvement, how you'd only see that one part of his body. Like we just see this fancy man's hand.
Yeah, the fancy man hand.
I actually did run into him once.
And yeah, go ahead. Tell him the story about Razor.
Razor, who is a weird ass little dog,
very weird,
who runs up to people. Like, he wants to get petted, and then when they go to pet him, he, like, backs away all weird and gets all growly.
He will jump out of the way. Like, he runs up to people with his butt wiggling, like, oh my gosh, this looks like the friendliest dog in the world. And then as soon as someone goes to pet him, he just jumps out of the way. He's
gets really
weird.
He's
really weird.
But our spy neighbor, man, Razor just went right up there, and he was pet by the spy.
Something is up with this guy. I really, before we leave New York City, before we leave this building specifically,
I just want to
ask this guy some questions. Listen, what's your deal, dude? I need to know some. I need some answers. I want him to know also this story that we've been building up around him.
Well, we'll have him watch.
I feel like I would be very flattered if someone was building up this whole lore around me.
I would think so. He seemed like a nice guy when I met him briefly. We'll have him on an episode.
But can you imagine if you were just some nobody, like not Dan Riker, like just some average Jack Ryan on the street?
Jack Ryan's a super spy.
Oh, yeah, whatever. And someone like came up to you and was like, hey, I got to tell you something. I have this like fucking cork board in my apartment.
I'd call the cops before he finished that sentence.
Trying to figure out.
Yes, the cops would be on the way by the time he was done saying that.
Yeah, so Jack Ryan is the guy played by John Krasinski.
Yes, so real quick, so again, I'm not an expert on Tom Clancy. I've played way more of the Tom Clancy branded games.
Did you see Splinter Cell?
Splinter Cell, yeah. Rainbow Six, End War, Hawks.
When did they shed the Tom Clancy moniker? Because I remember it used to be Tom Clancy's.
It still is.
When I play Rainbow Six Siege on Steam,
I have to scroll down to the T's. Yeah, it's under Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. He's dead. His son is actually a fan. I've known his son online for several years, and he's a delight.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, his name is also Tom Clancy, but Tom with an H.
Really?
Yeah.
Like T-H-O-M?
Yeah.
Like the singer for Radiohead?
Yes, it's like that. He also, I think, contributed $300 to my campaign to make fun of Jose Canseco several years ago. So, thank you, Tom Clancy.
Someone that's in on the joke. I appreciate it.
Yes, Tom Clancy Jr.
does he go by Jr.?
No, it's just Tom Clancy.
It's not the second or anything.
I think once you add a letter into the first name, I think it's no longer.
Oh, it's no longer?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, so I have known of the Jack Ryan character. I think I saw Clear and Present Danger in school at one point, and that's Harrison Ford plays Jack Ryan in that.
And how was it?
I remember being really good. I can't remember if Patriot Games is the other one, but Harrison Ford played Jack Ryan in a couple movies. And I remember one of them, I think it's Clear and Present Danger with all the rockets on the rooftop, this classic action scene and everything. I remember being really good. I don't remember much about it. But
yeah,
Harrison Ford for a couple movies. Somebody told me Hunt for Red October was a Jack Ryan thing, but I'm not sure about that.
Hunt for Red October?
Somebody told me that. I saw that with Drew, but I was drunk and we were talking the entire time, so I don't really remember.
Not saying that's wrong, but I had no idea.
Yeah, and then The Sum of All Fears is one, and that one I saw. That was with, I want to say, Morgan Freeman and Ben Affleck Ben Affleck played Jack Ryan.
Two great guys.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it then. Yeah. So Ben Affleck is terrible as Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
But at least, like, I don't know, like, Ben Affleck has played action-y dudes before. It wasn't as much. Like, I don't like Ben Affleck.
I don't like him either. I really don't buy him in anything. The only thing I've liked him in was Good Will Hunting.
Right.
And
I'm struggling to think of something I've liked him in. I remember, like, I love the character of Batman, and, like, I super love those Nolan movies. And then when I heard they were making new ones without Nolan and with Ben Affleck as Batman, I was like, I don't need to see these movies at all. That doesn't sound great. So he was terrible. And so Jack Ryan, I think, went away for a while. I don't know if books or anything came out. But then, yeah, this Amazon Prime series popped up, and we watched the first two episodes. And I think everyone, when they saw that this was happening, kind of made fun of it. Like, the joke is, like, oh, my God, how is Jim from The Office this, like, super action guy?
Yeah.
And
let me just say, I didn't initially really buy him as an action hero either.
No.
I mean, I am vaguely familiar with The Office. I've only seen a handful of episodes. And he does kind of strike me more as a comedic actor just because he's, like, such a kind of John Everyman-looking guy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know girls fucking swoon over him, but to me, he just looks like an average guy that you might see walking around.
I mean, you've seen the entirety of The British Office, and Tim, that character, is the same role, basically, as Jim. And it's Martin Freeman. He's just, like, this totally average dude or whatever. It's, like, in the same demeanor and everything. Like, he's not a cool dude action guy.
Right, yeah. I mean, I would say that Jim from The Office is more, you know, has more sex appeal than...
I know ladies like him.
Yeah. But anyway, we saw A Quiet Place or The Quiet Place? What was it?
I think it's I don't know. People know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, there was so much hype around that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I thought it was fine, but it wasn't unworthy. I thought it was, like, it was a fine
movie. It was a forgettable movie. It was fine, but forgettable.
John Krasinski was fine in it. His wife, it was Emily Blunt's wife, right?
Yes, in real life. And I think he also directed that movie. So he just put them in it. And I think that was the first time, at least that I've seen, that he had, like, a high profile, like, trying to be tough, cool guy role or, like, hero dude thing.
Yeah. And, the one scene I liked from The Quiet Place that it actually didn't involve John Krasinski at all was Emily Blunt gives birth natural in a tub, where she has to be completely silent because of this alien guy that just picks up on, or monster guy that just picks up on noise, any noise at all.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, you can't imagine.
No. It sounds like it would be uncomfortable.
It sounds like it would be terrible.
Except the thing that took me away from that scene was that it was on the poster and in the trailers and all this stuff of her screaming in a bathtub.
Oh, really?
Without the context.
I guess I didn't see.
And so it was like, as soon as I saw she was pregnant in the movie, I was like, oh, that's what that scene's going to be. She has to be quiet while she's giving birth. So, like, I definitely, like, saw that coming.
Yeah. Anyway, so Jack Ryan.
Yes, played by John Krasinski.
Played by John Krasinski. We don't meet him first in the show. We meet the kids that will grow up to be the main antagonists, I assume, of the whole season.
Right. So we start out, it's like 1983, and it's a war. I assume it's based on a real war in Lebanon. And they're getting bombed. This village.
Well, wait a minute. You're cutting out an important part here.
Hmm.
These two young boys are singing Men at Work. Is it Men at Work? You can dance.
You can dance for you. They're dancing around to it inside their home.
Yeah, you can dance if you want to.
Yeah.
Men Without Hats.
That's right. What was
Men Without Hats?
I can't remember what Men at Work was.
I don't remember either. But they're dancing around to that song. So they obviously have an affinity for Western music. You know what I mean? They probably have no ill will towards Westerners. And then I think that the reason they put that in is to show that they weren't from birth, you know, against Western civilization or anything.
It's definitely that scene where it's just like, hey, look, it's just kids. It's innocent kids having fun here.
Right.
You know, like, they definitely do the things some of these movies and shows do where it's like, okay, yes, we're going to have this big terrorist bad guy here, but we're going to humanize him. We're going to show a little bit of his backstory. We're going to show kind of some events that led there instead of just having, like, sniveling, tying people to the railroad tracks or blowing people up, you know, like,
just pure evil. Yeah. So they're having a good time. They go out on the roof of their house, and then these bombs hit. It's unclear to me whether it's the U.S. that bombs Lebanon here or if it's, like, Israeli forces or something. I'm not really familiar with that war at all. So
I have no idea what the context of that skirmish is or anything, or that conflict. I have to assume it's the U.S. because of what we find out later.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of just an assumption here. We watched two episodes out of the eight that are up.
Yeah.
So we don't know anything about this war or whatever's happening.
So that's the origin story of these guys. And so, you know, for most of the show, obviously, it's set in present day. and they're adults now. And the one, the older brother, this guy Suleiman, is kind of this terrorist kingpin, independent from ISIS, kind of doing his own thing in his own way.
Right. And we hear from intelligence agencies that, like, he appeals to both Sunni and Shiite Muslims. So, like, he's, like, bringing people together, but it's not an ISIS thing. Although he was in a lot of, like, ISIS-style videos, yeah. like beheading videos and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Jack Ryan compares him a few times to, like, you know, this could be the next Bin Laden or something.
They kind of do that to a cartoonish degree in this show, because I don't know how many times in the two episodes we saw, we're like, we could catch the next Bin Laden.
Well,
we could prevent the next 9/11.
Here's the thing about Jack Ryan, okay? I didn't really go in with any expectations. I didn't know if it was going to be like a cartoonish kind of military action show like 24 or
right.
something a little smarter.
That's not cartoonish.
But, okay. Something a little smarter like Homeland. I never watched 24, but I watched the first like 5 seasons of Homeland. And I absolutely love that
Homeland's
show.
Homeland's good. I saw the first like 2 seasons.
Yeah, it's really good. And it honestly, every season has a totally different flavor for that show. Some of them focus more on like Claire Danes' character. Other ones are more like, you know, whatever conflicts are going on. That show, I think, is great. So I do like those kinds of shows. This Jack Ryan, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I just want to say I thought this show was so mediocre.
Yeah.
It was like, it was fine, but I thought the action, like, okay, so the first episode, I'm just going to jump to it. The first episode ends with Jack Ryan at this black site in Afghanistan.
Black site Cobalt. I don't think it's, is it Yemen? I'm not entirely positive.
I know he goes to Afghanistan in the second episode.
This is kind of a globe-trotting thing. Like, they go to France,
yeah.
Afghanistan, Yemen,
well,
Lebanon.
Well, it's a black site in the Mideast, I guess we can say. So we can safely say
right,
that.
Right, there's some serious stuff as well. Like, they are kind of, like, going all over the place. I don't remember specifically where black
yeah.
site Cobalt is, but it's definitely a Middle Eastern location where they're questioning and interrogating
right.
Terrorists.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so they have this guy that they're interrogating and his bodyguard. Turns out the bodyguard is Suleiman. But what ensues is just the most bonkers, dumb, and bonkers in a bad way, dumb action scene ever. So these other terrorists conceal, well, I guess this is one guy, conceals himself as a dead body.
With a person mask.
With a, yeah, a human mask that
yeah,
makes him look like he got his face
blown
off.
Bloody skin, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and so other people, I guess, in the community bring these bodies over to this black site and collect a bounty. I guess the assumption is that, you know, the U.S. will identify the bodies and
yeah.
it'll be like, okay, we could check this target off the
list. Here's your dead terrorist, give us a couple $100.
But even that is so stupid because, like, the guys at the black site, the American soldiers, they just accept the bodies without reviewing them. Like, there's no effort to ID them at all. Because then these people just around the black site can just kill these people as an easy way to get money. That if they're not going to be, like, collecting, they're not going to be IDing them. And they're just collecting the money as soon as they drop them off. That part was really fucking dumb to me.
My worry was less about, like, the identification thing and more like, wouldn't there be some sort of at least cursory, let's run these bodies through a detector, make sure there's not a hidden bomb,
yeah,
make sure
absolutely.
There's nothing. Because, like, they put a gun inside the chest of one of the actual dead guys.
Yeah.
So when they go into this, like, morgue ice area or whatever, there's these 4 bodies. I think 3 are actually dead, mm-hmm. and then Suleiman's brother is one of the hidden ones. So he takes mm-hmm. off the creepy skin mask, and then he reaches into the torso of one of the other bodies and has a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, I was the whole time thinking, like, oh, there's going to be a bomb inside one of them. You know, I've seen shows and movies like this.
Yeah.
They're definitely building to some big ending of the pilot episode.
And look, I mean, I'm not obviously a military expert by any means. But
I disagree.
I would give the soldiers enough credit to where they wouldn't just let this mysterious van filled with unknown people approach the black site without fucking shooting the hell out of it when it's far away. I mean, like, why would you? Dan, they let that car get so fucking close before they start shooting. And not to mention,
wait, are you talking about the bomb car or the one?
Well, there's the bomb car. Yeah, it like revs its engine a little bit.
Yeah,
like just fucking while it's revving the engine, you want it like you're just gonna let this happen, and then
right.
it just you know pummels into the site, and then you know I think it explodes, right?
Yeah, but
and there's a big shootout, and just I mean, this is a military base that is prepared to be attacked. I mean, at any given time, there's guys on watch. They're all armed. It's like a fortified place. It's not just some random fucking in the middle of some town or some town square. I mean, they're prepared to take attacks, and yet they fucking get like almost like they get the shit beaten out of them by these terrorist guys. Like, and they're out in the open. I mean, at least make the soldiers out to be smart. And the show does the thing that really annoys me, where everyone else is an incompetent idiot except for the main character. Like, everyone's doubting Jack Ryan.
Like when his new boss and everything.
Yeah, like when they were at Langley earlier in the episode, everyone's like doubting Jack Ryan, even though he has this information that's obviously true. I don't know how he got it. It's just some nonsense he was typing. Apparently he figured out something that no one else could figure out. Whatever.
Yeah, so the weird thing is he's like this financial analyst who like follows money trails and stuff like that. But he was a combat vet who has, you know, all of his friends died and everything. And so it starts with him being like, oh, I found all these transactions that are weird. This isn't how ISIS normally operates. And he gets a hunch and the hunch winds up being right. And the next thing you know, oh, helicopter, Mr. Ryan, you got to get on. We got to take you to Yemen or whatever.
And not only that, not only is he's the one guy that's right. Which, I mean, come on, it's the CIA. I think they're going to be a little smarter than, like, you know, to not recognize this stuff before or even doubt Jack Ryan or whatever. You know, I feel like this intel, when they do gather intel, it just doesn't come from one guy. It's probably from multiple sources. And, of course, he survives this siege at the Black Site base, Cobalt, despite being out of action for, I think we can assume, several years and literally working a desk job. He's still competent enough to survive. And it's that stupid fucking scene at the end where Jack Ryan has, like, the dead man switch, the grenade, and he's like, oh, if you shoot me, I'm going to let this grenade go.
Yeah.
Suleiman and his brother, I forget his brother's name.
I don't remember his name.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Suleiman and his brother, they have a gun. They obviously don't want to shoot Jack Ryan because they don't want to die.
Right.
But they are leaving and they're out of the radius that the grenade would affect him. I mean, this is just based on me playing a lot of video games.
Right.
They could shoot him. They just keep going.
And I think there's even like a door separating them at that point. Like, just shoot through the door or something.
Him. I mean, yeah, you've played enough Rainbow Six. What is it? Siege.
Siege, yeah.
To know that you could shoot through doors.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you got bullet penetration for sure.
That'd be fine. And, oh my gosh.
Or throw your own grenade into the window of the room after you leave and then run away.
So from the first episode, and it was a long episode, right? That was like,
it's like an hour.
It was too long.
Yeah.
It established itself as something that's like totally middle of the road, mediocre, like something that I feel like really, I mean, it's cheap. You know, fun. It looked really good. I thought the effects and everything looked good. It's made well. But I just thought the action scene, that combat scene at the end was so dumb. It made everyone out to be really fucking stupid.
The thing is, this show, like, none of the acting is necessarily bad. None of the direction and everything is all really good. Yeah. But yeah, it's just kind of the situations and stuff, which, like, you know, it seems like you kind of deconstruct the realism of things and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, my action dude brain just doesn't really care about that stuff. And I just want, like, cool things to happen. And, like, so I was cool with the, like, grenade scene and all that stuff. Like, I actually liked the whole big shootout at the end. Like, I guess I don't really worry about logic as much.
Right.
I did think about the thing about, like, wouldn't I scan that guy or make sure there's not a bomb in there? But, like, that's about it.
Yeah, it just, I feel like in a real situation, I mean, obviously a bomb is one thing, but I don't think that, you know, they would be so incompetent as to let all these people just run up on them like that. So that was pretty weak for me. And it also had this, and let me know what you think about this, Dan, because this is also a fucking thing that annoys me in these types of shows, where it's so unnecessary and irrelevant from the main story arc. It's just this tacked on forced romance thing.
Right. And we see more of that in episode 2. And so, granted, there are 8 episodes here. Like, she has ties to other characters in this universe. Mm-hmm. Maybe this comes around. Like, the amount of time they've spent with this girl, who's this doctor. And she's, like, this genius doctor. Her dad's this, like, rich guy used to work with Jack Ryan.
I think he used to work on Wall Street with Jack Ryan.
Totally, yeah. And so, like, I don't know. They're spending a lot of time. Like, you know, he's at the computer looking at all these, like, her getting awards and giving TED Talks and shit. And, like, I would hope, you know, at this point, I don't think I'm going to continue watching this show. So after we record this, I'll probably just like look up everything that happens.
Yeah.
But like, I would hope that pays off in some way. But I also, from watching years and years of 24, granted, that show had 24 hours of television to fill, and this has 8. There were episodes where it was just like, we just need to introduce, like, oh, this baby showed up at CTU. What do we do about this baby? Or, oh, a mountain lion's chasing Alicia Cuthbert now. I guess we'll follow that for 3 episodes.
Oh,
like, this kind of time killing stuff.
Yeah.
But like, they don't have that time constraint and concept that 24 did. So, like, they don't really have an excuse on this show. It's on Amazon. You don't even have to, like, account for commercials or anything.
Yeah, and it seemed all right. So, first of all, the fact that it just seems totally irrelevant from anything that's going on. Also, it just seemed like they have just the most forced chemistry. I can't describe it. She just seemed really cold, and he seemed like really nervous. And this is should be a badass guy who like still has trouble talking to girls. I don't know. But the one scene that I did like was when they're at that house party for this doctor lady's dad, and The Dr. Lady and Jack Ryan are talking about what he does, and he says, like, oh, it's just a boring supply chain job. And then a helicopter comes to pick him up, which I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, but one thing I want to say, too, that really fucking pissed me off. The Dr. Lady's dad, Jack Ryan's former boss,
right,
this guy that worked on Wall Street with Jack Ryan, he invites Jack Ryan to this party to ask him about North Korea.
You're this
successful business guy who's been, I guess, I assume he's been doing this for decades and has been enormously successful at it. Read the news.
Well, I think what he wanted was he wanted somebody from the inside, like in intelligence, to basically fill him in on some like insider tips so he could do some insider trading, which
is
super illegal.
I just thought that was so, so dumb. I didn't like that. I thought that was really cheap and dumb, just a way to get him at this house party. I feel like they could have done it a billion other ways.
I do just wonder, yeah, if any of that family's the guy or his daughter pays off in any way. But I guess we'll look it up afterwards. Mm-hmm. A few other random notes from this first episode, which we don't have a lot to say about the second one because there is it's much less going on in the second one. Mm-hmm. But basically, this is written by Carlton Cuse from Lost. So I don't know what else that man has worked on. He might be a very pleasant man. But Lost is a garbage show. I watched every episode of it, and yeah, it is terrible.
So I never watched Lost. Are the episodes in a vacuum bad? Or is it just – was their whole appeal like, oh, okay, where is this going? I want to see where this is going. And so like in their own right, they're not that good. But when you think like, oh, this is part of a larger mystery, and then the fact that it didn't pay off.
Right. That is the thing. Like, in the moments in the early seasons, I'd say maybe the first half of the show's run, maybe even up into season four, there was, you know, I could talk for a long time. I'll just boil it down here. There was this sense that there was a huge mystery that they were going to pay off, and they kept introducing new mysteries. It's like, what the fuck? Polar bear, smoke monster, what's going on? Is there a time travel thing? Yeah. Is this limbo? Is this whatever? And you just kind of felt, because it was very competently made, like Jack Ryan, that like, okay, these people know what they're doing, and we're gonna find out. Like, this is going to be such an accomplishment for television to answer all these mysteries and keep us going for so long. And then as we got closer to like season five, and we knew it was only gonna have six seasons, it was like, oh, we're still introducing mysteries and we're not solving anything, right? Yeah. Oh, great. Okay, we're not gonna. Ugh. So it's just, it left me with an extremely bad taste in my mouth because I had extremely high hopes and they were not satisfied in the least bit.
That sucks. Yeah, I was always curious about that show, but then knowing that there's absolutely no payoff, because that's all I know, that people were really into it. I've never seen one episode of it.
There were moments that were fun in that show that I liked in the moment, but I have a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, that's one of those shows that probably should have been planned out ahead of time, given like a finite amount of episodes.
They said they knew all the like tent posts that they wanted to like.
That's it really ruins any trust that you have in those creators for future.
So as soon as I saw shows. As soon as I saw him in the credits, I was like, oh fuck, here we go. Totally different show, obviously. Another note real quick, we see a lot of stuff at home in Syria, Suleiman's home. He's got a family there, and like they kind of play up the like, oh, he's a terrible terrorist, but also, you know, he's a dad, he cares about his kids, you know, he's giving them, you know, toys and stuff, but also he's literally filling their house with terrorists who are like building bombs
it's really weird. So in the second episode, you're right, they focus more on like Suleiman's home life, and his wife is it just boggles my mind. It seems like she was at a certain point okay with his mysterious unknown work that's secretly terrorism that I guess she didn't know about, but maybe she in her heart she knew.
Turn a blind eye or whatever.
Yeah, and like suddenly she just becomes not okay with it. Like, I feel like if you're on board with that, it's kind of like a ride or die situation.
Then all the terrorist buddies show up and they're being creepy to your daughter.
Yeah, and this one terrorist guy who's like, how fucking stupid can you be? You're messing with Suleiman's daughter? Like, he's clearly coming on to this girl, this young little girl who just wants to play with her doll or whatever. And, like, he's giving her a lollipop. Like, dude, this is Suleiman, the main bad guy in the show. This is his daughter.
It's like you're an Al-Qaeda foot soldier and you're like putting the moves on bin Laden's daughter. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah, this is not going to end well for you.
I mean, I let's face it, it probably wasn't going to end well for him.
Oh, no. No.
But, I mean, come on, dude. That was so fucking dumb. But they have a sex scene, I guess. And,
Sex scene?
Suleiman and his wife.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird. Like, they seem to be into each other and then she just starts crying while they're getting it on, which I guess is a thing that happens. I don't really know why.
Yeah.
I guess she was...
Well, she's probably worried about how her husband brought all these terrorists to her family's home.
I mean, yeah, but like, if you brought a bunch of terrorists home, I wouldn't be like, hey, this isn't good, let's fuck.
No, that would not be the proper response. You should call the cops if I do that. I'm not going to do that, but you should call the cops if you ever see terrorists in this house.
Yeah, let's not do that. So, yeah, they end up in Paris in this episode, right? Is that where the, or is that Afghanistan where that whole cell phone debacle thing happens?
The big, like, finale of the second one? Yeah. That's Paris. But mm-hmm. I do want to say one thing about the first one. My last thing is that it does this thing that so many goddamn shows do. And it's like we're trying to establish, like, tough action guy, but he's also smart. And so he's at home just, like, eating his, like, you know, takeout Chinese food or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even change the game show. I don't know how many fucking shows have done Jeopardy and, like, saying the, like, he knows all the answers mm-hmm. before the contestant knows it. And it's like, what is, oh, then the contestant says it.
Dan, how many shows do that? That's such, this show is just, like, it's so by the numbers, right? I mean, it's just, it's just not a smart show. And I feel like military shows, for them to be successful, should be smart. I mean, it's one thing if this independent guy, like, the show is all about, the dude from Kiefer Sutherland or whatever.
24.
Yeah. But this is like, we're talking CIA. We're talking like terrorist, you know, investigator. Like we're talking a lot of people, whole bands of terrorists. This isn't just one guy. It's like, it should be smarter than it is, but it's right now it's really disappointing.
It should be smarter or it should be stupider because the thing is, 24. Okay. I know I talk so much about my deep undying love of 24, but 24 is a fucking dumbass show.
Yeah.
How many fucking eight, nine seasons or whatever of Jack Bauer getting into situations
there were
that begin
or nine seasons.
It was weird. There were like prequel movies and then there were like half seasons. It came back. It was a whole thing, but like at least like seven times there have been like world threatening terrorist events that started and ended within the span of 24 hours exactly because it was real time. The show was always 24 episodes. It's dumb as hell, but it was the right kind of dumb. Sure. But it also was super serious and had really
either lean into it hard or go on the Homeland direction and like give us something to chew on and like think about.
Right, Homeland seems smarter made.
Yeah.
That's probably not a smart way of saying it.
The thing about Homeland is it kind of started as just like it was mainly just about Claire Danes in the beginning. I remember really focused on her bipolar disorder and like her budding romance with Brody.
Yeah.
And that the whole conflict there because he was like a POW, whatever. And then once they got past that, which I thought that was interesting, but then when they got past all that stuff, it just got like really, really into a really like smart, like military kind of thing, like double agents, like, you know, you're dealing with embassy stuff. She's like a undercover, like there's a lot of layers to it once it gets past that.
Okay.
So when I say like, when I said earlier that every season is like very different, it really is. And if you haven't watched Homeland, I really recommend watching it.
Okay.
You watched a few seasons,
the first couple seasons. I don't want to say too much for people who haven't seen it, but like I watched the first two seasons and like, I can see how it would have shifted going forward based on what happened. And I know something that happens beyond what I've seen.
Right. That's the whole crux of that story about Brody. I mean, they recognized that they couldn't really milk that for that long a time. So they like got in with that and then got out. And then it kind of comes back around later, but it's really done in a satisfying way.
Yeah.
But yeah, this show, what you said about it not being dumb enough, not being smart enough, I think is really accurate.
It's in this no man's land. Yeah. And like, you know, 24 would bring up these dumb story threads. Like, I make fun of, like, Kim getting chased by the mountain lion and stuff, but, like, I kind of like the dumbness of it. Whereas, like, this episode 2 of Jack Ryan, it's like, it starts out with these two dudes stabbing a priest, and it's like, we don't learn what happens in this episode.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's explained later, but I don't care. Like, I will look up a plot synopsis of this entire show once we're done with this, and we'll see what happens.
Well, the one scene I thought was cool was the one I mentioned earlier with the group of I guess, terrorist foot soldiers kind of putting SIM cards and cell phones. I don't know what they're doing exactly.
Yeah.
Something with cell phones.
It's in this apartment in France, I believe.
I guess they're like preparing, what is it called? What are the
like
cell phones?
Burner phones
burner phones.
Yeah. And they're using it to transfer the money. That's one of the ways they track them is that they're doing these huge money transfers from this app.
Right. So Jack Ryan and a band of Parisian soldiers, army men and women, go to invade this place, and this little kid that they walk by warns Suleiman's brother, who's in the room with the cell phone people, that, listen, soldiers are coming. They use, like, a code or something to warn him. So I thought the scene was pretty cool and pretty tense. I always love like raid scenes like this.
Yeah, me too. It, like ones where there's like this, oh, it's always like a drug hideout or something. Like Dread had some of this stuff for sure, where it's like, oh, all these bad guys in a room and like we're going to kick the fucking door down and just, you know, like big shootout and everything.
Yeah, and I think it did a good job of like expressing like the futility and like how arbitrary these deaths are with the terrorists. Like this girl who... you know, is so devoted to the cause that she was willing to put on the suicide vest, but is obviously very, you know, has a lot of trepidation about it.
It seems like
naturally.
She was kind of forced. It was kind of like, hey, put, like, she did not seem okay with it.
Well, I mean, the guy, see, I don't know about that. Like, he, Suleiman's brother looked around the room, and all the guys in the room were, like, very, like, you know, and she looked at him and was like, all right, I kind of, I'll do it.
Oh, was there like, okay, I'll do what I can
do? A little bit. I mean, I thought that part was interesting. And of course, she super dies.
Yeah.
And a lot of people there too, except for Jack Ryan, of course.
Jack Ryan's on the street.
Yeah, she sees Suleiman's brother escape and goes after him.
Yeah, like out a window, like chase the streets. Like, again, these action scenes, it seems like, you know, the first two episodes end with these big action scenes. Mm-hmm. And like, they're well made. Like, I enjoyed them
they
as
look
just
good.
Action
they
scenes
look
in a
good.
Vacuum.
Yeah,
you know?
I just, the second one I like better than the first one. Just really bothered me because it just made everyone seem so fucking dumb.
Yeah, I guess I just I guess I just don't think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't ever think about like the intelligence of these action characters. I just want to see the kills and the stealth. Like, again, the most perfect, well, no, okay, one of the most perfect moments in cinema is the entire last half hour of Commando, and it's just John Matrix just killing it. He rows a boat up to an island after stealing every weapon from a weapon store, and then he just puts on face paint, he suits up, and he kills everyone, and he says cool things.
Oh, that's, see, that's, it's different. Like, your expectations shift when you see someone like Arnold, who's just trying to get his daughter back, and you know it's just like, this guy's just gonna fucking... all guns blazing, just cut through these soldiers like a knife on warm butter. Whereas, like, if it's something based in, like, CIA, like, this is a CIA operative, it's, you know, based in the military, my expectations shift, and I expect it to be a little more realistic, and I expect it to treat, you know, these characters, even if they're dying, with some respect. I mean, like, at least make them out to be somewhat smart. I mean, I just, the Cobalt Black Site, just that whole scene just bothered me a lot.
Yeah, I mean... and I hope I don't make it sound like I expect every movie to be Commando. Like, this is an intrigue spy thing. I expect there to be conversations. I expect there to be mysteries and investigations and stuff like that. I don't expect it to be...
calling it an intrigue spy thing, it's just... It doesn't seem that way. It's so heavy-handed.
I think it's going for the intrigue spy thing. I don't think it's necessarily
do it
working.
Successfully, yeah. And also, I just want to say, too, that we forgot to mention. We did mention that when they're at that Cobalt base, they just let Jack Ryan... interrogate these guys like he's never done it before, and he's just gonna, like, come on, this is a guy,
he's a money guy,
and he sits at a desk all day, like, he doesn't know how to
and he goes into like the good cop routine. He's giving Suleiman the food and water and everything. I mean, again, it's not like, this is not a piece of shit show. We've watched plenty of pieces of shit for Painting the Stream. This is about as middle of the road as it's gotten. Mm-hmm. As far as stuff we've watched. I mean, I can respect some of the production that went into these action scenes and stuff, but I really didn't care about the characters. You know, they got Bunk from The Wire as one of the main characters, and I loved him in The Wire. He's kind of playing the same
character.
Who
was that? I haven't seen
him. He was the boss. He was the guy that he went to Afghanistan, or not Afghanistan, he went to...
Oh, Greer?
Cobalt. Jim Greer.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he's... I won't say main character in The Wire. He doesn't have a ton going on, but he's in, like, every season. Mm-hmm. He's there a lot. And
you still have to watch The Wire.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I know. That's what everyone says.
Really, like best show of all time level. Like, I know that's said
that,
a lot,
no,
too.
No, I've heard that. I wonder. I mean...
it's ludicrous.
I definitely am curious about that show. We have to watch it at some point.
I would love to. But we have other shows to watch.
Indeed,
for this
do.
Here podcast that we do every week for you, including this next one, which will be very different than I think pretty much anything we've watched here. You know what? We couldn't get enough of Spanish language stuff after Millionaire Dog.
That's right.
So we are going to go. We specifically wanted to find a telenovela.
Mm-hmm.
So we just searched to see what was on Netflix. We don't really know anything about it other than the... let me describe the promo image. It is three fellas that appear to be cowboys and three ladies, and they seem to be kind of paired up.
A lady for each fella.
A lady for each fella. And yeah, it seems like it's three cowboys, brothers, falling in love with three sisters.
Yeah.
The show, and I'm going to apologize in advance for any bad pronunciations now or in the episode. It is called Pasión de Gavinales.
All right.
I don't know what Gavinalis means. That is Passion of something. Cowboys, well, maybe. We are going to watch one episode of this. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch season one, episode one. The show is from 2003, by the way. The episode is called Bernardo and Libya Are Lovers.
2003 just seems like a hot spot of just shitty TV.
Yeah, which I don't know. Maybe that was the golden age of telenovelas. We don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll find out if this is good. But that is on Netflix. So watch the very first episode of Pasión de Gavilanes on Netflix.
Ooh, it is TV. What a sensual name that is.
TV 14, so just be forewarned.
All right, I'm ready for it.
So that'll be next week. And for everyone listening, thank you again. Thank you to everyone that supports the show through our listener support feature.
If you have any recommendations, email us, because every time we've watched one of the recommended shows, I feel like we've really enjoyed it or have had some kind of strong feelings about it.
Yeah. In fact, I just answered, I just replied to some recommendations at panningthestream@gmail.com today. I got some really good recommendations from several people, and we will probably get to some of those. You can also give us feedback and suggestions at PanTheStream on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But the listener support thing, I just want to thank anyone who's participating in that.
Again, yes, thank you so much.
Again, mom and pop operation here. Keep the lights on if you want to contribute $1, $5, or $10 a month.
Yeah, I'm on my stationary bicycle here, like a hamster wheel, just trying to keep this thing running.
Yeah, I'm wearing a barrel right now. I don't have clothing. But no, it's, you know.
Wearing a barrel.
Yeah, well, you know.
Why is that what people go to when they don't have clothes?
In cartoons, when people were poor,
I get it, but yes. I mean, like, there's giant leaves. I mean, just, I don't know. I feel like a barrel seems so impractical.
Okay, well, that's what I've got, so
all right,
thanks for making me feel bad about my barrel. But thank you to everyone that is participating in the Listener Support Program. If you haven't signed up and you would like to help keep the lights on here, go to panningthestream.com. It is secure. It is very easy. I think if you do it from your mobile phone, it's like you can just do it with Apple Pay with like a quick click of the side button or whatever. So if you want to sign up, that's great. And thank you to everyone who's doing that.
Yes, thank you so much.
So that'll be it for this week. I want to thank Tom Monda for the theme song. And
shout out to Thank You Scientists going on tour with Coheed and Cambria later this year, if you're into that kind of thing.
Yes, go check them out. Go see Tom Monda on the guitar. You can hear him right now.
Hell yeah.
And Bianca, thank you, Bonkers.
Yes, my love. I love you.
Thank you for joining me. I love you too. And we will be back next week with Pasión de Gavilanes.
Beautiful.
Thanks, folks.